Amen. Turning your Bibles to John chapter 1. We're going to read the last few verses in this chapter. This is the fifth sermon that we've brought to you out of John chapter 1, which I had no idea that I would wind up preaching five sermons from this portion of Scripture. But he has been describing who Jesus is this whole time. John, the Revelator, and it tells us a little bit about John the Baptist, but it's all about Jesus. And he tells us that he's the light in the darkness. He's the Word made flesh. He's the Lamb of God. He's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to study, he's the builder of the kingdom. He's the builder of the kingdom. If you know me very well, you know that I'm sort of always looking for a formula. You know, what's the formula for losing weight? What's the formula for building wealth? What's the formula for doing things? And I look, when I read scriptures the same way. I'm always looking for a formula, and you will not find very many formulas in the Word of God. There's very few places where if you do A plus B will equal C in the Word of God, except for today, I found the formula. So I'm going to share to you, and that's the title, the evangelism formula. There really is a method that God, and God doesn't give us a lot of methods. He really, really, the whole scripture is about trust and obey, right? For there's no other way. And that's really the formula for following Jesus, is just trust and obey. But there is a formula in the end of chapter 1. So let's pick up in verse 35. He says, again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Can you imagine just standing there with John the Baptist? He's got this whole crowd around him, and he's been baptizing, and Jesus is there, and he's got two disciples right beside him, and he just comments, behold, the Lamb of God. You know, one day we're going to say that. Amen. We're going to stand in heaven and we're going to say, behold the Lamb of God that took away my sins. It will be personal. Behold the Lamb of... Does it get any richer than that, folks? No. Behold the Lamb of God. Then two of his disciples, this is Andrew and John, heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which is this translated teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated Christ, the Anointed One. He brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to them, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And people say that about Paris, don't they? Can anything good come from Paris? Yes, they can. Philip said to him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. I don't know why I'm so emotional. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You're going to see greater things than these. And he said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, Hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Father God, we're so grateful for your word. Lord, I know that we don't take it as seriously as we should. God, if we understood the power of the word of God, we would devour it. We wouldn't just read it. We would devour it. Nothing else would stand in our way of knowing your word. I pray, Lord, what you put on Wanda's heart, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that each one of us would have a hunger and a thirst for the word of God. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that you would open our ears and our eyes and let us see, Lord, the teachings that could change the world in which we live. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So John is commenting, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Now, John is going to be like any other preacher. He's not looking to get rid of his congregation, right? But he makes that statement, and Andrew and John are standing beside him, and they heard what he was saying. Behold the Lamb of God. Their ears picked up, and they thought, why should we follow the baptizer when there goes the Lamb of God? And so they left John. They left John. Are you getting it? They left John to follow Jesus. Now, a preacher with a big ego would not have been happy about that. Right? Lots of people in the kingdom of God today are building their own kingdom. God's not asked us to build our kingdom. He's asked us to build his kingdom and to lead people to the truth. John made this statement, now not right here, but a little bit later, the Baptist, he wrote this. He said, "I must decrease that he must increase." He was okay with his congregation leaving him and following Jesus. And that shows the true heart of a servant, right? He was okay with this. And so they begin to follow him. And so the first thing that hit me about this was Colossians 4:6. "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." A timely word. Do you realize that a timely word from you can change people's lives? If you allow the Lord to speak through you. Bible says that in our mouth we have the power of life and death. You gotta stop and you gotta ask yourself, which one's winning? Am I speaking death or am I speaking life? Which one's winning in your life? And so a lot of times we want to change that, don't we? And so Psalms 141:3 says, "Lord, set a guard over my mouth." Anybody ever prayed a prayer like that? Set a guard. In other words, "Lord, would you help me to stop saying stupid stuff?" That's sort of the Kelleher rendition of that. "Keep a watch over the door of my lips." You know, forever, I have tried to change the way I talk. I've tried to set a guard over, instead of letting God do it, I've tried to do it, right? I've tried to make sure that I was speaking life and not speaking death. I've tried to make sure that my words were positive and not negative. It exhausts me to be around negative people. Amen. I don't know if it does you. I find that negativity is the language of the devil. I don't think God's people ought to be negative. I think we ought to, our talk ought to be filled with hope and life and joy. Amen. So that doesn't work though. If you try to change the fruit, you're not going to change it. You can change it for a day. You can change it for a little while. But if you want to change the fruit of your life, the words of your mouth, you got to change the root. You cannot change the fruit without changing the root. You change the root and the fruit will change. Well, that's pretty good, right? That's pretty good teaching. And so in Matthew 12, he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Did you get it? "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." For out of the abundance of the heart. So if you want to change your words, change your heart. Amen. And you can't do that. But he can. The word does. The word changes your heart. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man will bring evil treasures out of his heart. Stop for a second and think, what am I talking about? What do I talk about? I was preaching 20, 30 years ago, and these words came out of my mouth. And I'll never forget it because I knew it was the Lord. He says, the church doesn't have a boldness problem. We have a love problem. See, you talk about what you love. You talk about what you're excited about. Right? If you love a ball game, if you love UK, or you love the Tennessee Vols, or you love Alabama, we heard about that Christmas Eve, you're going to talk about those things. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But how much are you talking about Jesus? You know, if you're excited about your walk with God, you're going to talk about that. Amen. You know that Paul told Timothy, let me clarify this. Timothy was a spiritual son, but Paul told Pastor Timothy, hey, do the work of an evangelist. Pastor Timothy probably said, but I'm not an evangelist. And Father Paul said, I don't care what you're called to, do the work of an evangelist. Matthew 28 verse 19 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the words of Jesus. It's funny how we neglect some things in the body of Christ. Oh, we'll pray and we'll read our Bible and we'll even tithe. But don't ask me to talk to people. You talk about what you love. You talk about what you're excited about. It's not something you have to think about. It's just who you are. Amen. If we start talking about cars, I'm going to tell you there's no car on the streets that's better than a Toyota. I mean, I'm just thrilled with them. I've been driving them since 1986. Toyota's a great vehicle. So you're going to hear that out of me. In Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. We have Reignite Street Reach about once a month where we go out. And all that is trying to train you to know how to talk to people. Talk about Jesus. That's all it is. How do I knock on the door? But that's really not evangelism. You know, I'm thinking this is a mission giving church. Over the last month, we've talked about missions to Africa and missions to Mexico. Because we have missionaries in doing work in both. And we support missionaries all around the world. But I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful for those guys that are willing to go across the world and minister the gospel. But what I desire more than anything is someone that will walk across the street and talk to their neighbor. And that's you. Do you realize people are dying and going to hell? That has not changed. And I don't care who comes out on social media and tells you that hell is not real. It is real. And it may not make sense, a bit of sense to our carnal mind, but it says it in the Word of God where the fire quenches not. Right? And the fire never stops. I'm going to take the word of God over anyone else in this world. I'll listen to the word before I listen to a man. And the Lord says, hell is eternal. And you need to have a pretty good visual on what hell is like so that the love of God constrains you to go tell people you can avoid it. So you let your light so shine. Ephesians 4:29 out of the NLT says, don't use foul or abusive language. I was talking about words, so I just threw that in for good measure. Don't use foul or abusive language. I can't talk to Roy about the love of God and then turn around and tell him a dirty joke or use bad language and expect for him to listen to me. Let me just get really clear with you. There's way too much nonsense language in the body of Christ. Pastor, that's just my byword. No, sir. No, sir. You don't get that choice. I don't care, you know, when you get mad or when you hit your finger with a hammer, you do not have an excuse to let a bunch of four-letter words come out of your mouth. Say, well, Pastor, I can't stop it. No, he can. You just need to ask him. And so here's what I'm saying. Maybe all your life you'd felt like that just didn't matter. And I'm here to tell you today it does matter. It matters how you talk. Let your words be seasoned with salt. He says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now, getting back to the story, Andrew and John heard these words of John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God, and they started following Jesus. Jesus turns around and looks at them and he says, what do you seek? What are you seeking? I believe the Lord would ask you that question today. What are you seeking? Come on, ask yourself. What are you seeking? Are you seeking more money? Oh, that would be my answer. If I just get more money, that would take care of so many problems. No, it won't. It just presents more problems. Oh, if I could just find the right man until you're the right woman, the right man won't help you. And we could change that. If I could just find a good woman, well, you better be a godly man to find a good. Am I making sense? What are you seeking today? Well, I just need more education. Well, I'm all in favor of that. But it not be your first and foremost thing that you're seeking.
That's right.
Jesus turned to these two guys that are followers of John. He says, what are you seeking? And they say something very boneheaded. Right? They say, we just want to know where you're staying. What? You're talking to the creator of the universe. You're talking to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, and you're saying, I just want to know where you're staying tonight. Well, the Holiday Inn over here. One translator said this. He said, maybe a better translation would be to say, we just wanted to know, do you have room for us? Oh my, doesn't that change that statement? Can you imagine looking at Jesus and saying, hey, Jesus, he asked you, what do you want? And I just want to know, do you have room for me? Whew. Isn't that something? Amen. Jesus, in your kingdom, do you have room for me? I can answer that question. Absolutely, wholeheartedly, from the love of God, he says, if we don't, we'll make room. Yes, I have room. And he says, come and see. Come and see. Do you realize that's an invitation from God Almighty for you to come and investigate who he is? What are you seeking? Scripture tells us to seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. Everything that you think you need, I need to pay my electric bill. My mortgage has been getting tough. I need to do this. I need to find me a man. I need to find me a good woman. Whatever you're seeking, seek him first and seek him with all your heart. Make him the top priority of your life, and every desire you have, he will. That's not my words. That's his words. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. Remember in college, Maslow's theory of law, the things that you need, shelter and food and comfort and all those things. God will take care of every one of those as you seek him first. It's a promise from God. Today, sometimes we got to take a step back and say, I live in a society that people really are seeking things. Why do people turn to drugs and alcohol? Why do people turn to promiscuous sex? And they're looking for something. The old country song, they're looking for love in all the wrong places, right? They're seeking, and you have the answer. But our mouths are shut. Why is our mouth shut when we have the answer to life? Because our compassion is too low. Amen. You talk about what you love. That's just human nature. How many people are grandparents in this place? You ever mention your grandchildren to anybody? If somebody gives you an open door in 10 seconds, you're telling them about your grandchildren, right? I remember one time we were riding in the car with somebody, and this lady started showing Treva pictures of her grandchildren. 200 pictures of her grandchildren. And so when Treva grabs her phone to pull out the pictures, I said, limit it, Treva. Don't overwhelm them. Don't show them every picture you got. Just show them a few. But again, that shows what I'm talking about. Psalms 42:11 says, why am I discouraged? That's the psalmist. The psalmist David is writing this. Why am I discouraged? Come on, David, you got everything. Why am I discouraged? Put your hope in God, and I will praise him again, my Savior. The next thing that happens is critical. This is really the part of the sermon that I want you to get. When Andrew and John met Jesus, and they discovered who he was, they stayed with him the entire day. Can you imagine? Can you imagine getting to spend a day with Jesus? Just the three of you. Andrew, John, and Jesus are hanging out. Wow. What would you give for that? Yeah. Isn't that right? And so what did they do after that? What did they learn that day? Who knows all the stuff that they have absorbed? But the next statement is so critical. It says this. Andrew went and told his brother. Oh, that's deep. No, it's not deep. It's who we are. Andrew went and find Simon. He says, you got to come with me. I have found the Messiah. You got to come. You got to experience what I experienced today. So what does he do? He took his brother to Jesus. That's as simple as it gets, folks. He says, come and see what I've discovered. And then he takes him. And as soon as Jesus sees him, he says, you're not Simon. Simon means a reed that's blown by the wind. He said, you're Cephas, you're Peter, you're a rock in the kingdom. this guy that Andrew brings to Jesus is the same guy that after an experience from the Holy Spirit, his very first sermon he preached, 3,000 people got saved. The very first sermon Kyle preached was Christmas Eve service. How many people was there Christmas Eve to hear that sermon? If you've not heard that, get online and watch that. It was a wonderful sermon. I'm telling you, man, just knocked it out of the park. But let me just say this, and no, I'm not putting you down, but 3,000 people didn't get saved. Right? Come on, let's put things in perspective. Why are we preaching? Why do we have a church? The church is not a social club. If you are looking for a social club, join the Rotary. Get in Kiwanis. Do something. But church is not us. Will it meet the same needs? Yes, a lot. But let's remember what the church is. The church is to seek and to save that which was lost. We have the same mission as Jesus Christ. We are to destroy the works of the enemy. How do you destroy the works of the enemy? By getting someone saved. When someone gets saved, you change the destination of their life. No longer are they going to hell, but they're going to heaven. That's destroying the works of the enemy. Whew. It's evangelism at its best. Each one, reach one. People have been asking me, Pastor, it's in my heart that you are supposed to share the vision of the church in 2026. I filed that with all the other words that people give me. If it's the Lord, He'll do it. I'm not working at that. I'm not going to my office thinking, okay, I've got to do. No. That's the church is God's. It's not Eric's. Bridge of Hope, don't ever say Bridge of Hope. Don't say, Pastor, your church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's His church. Amen. All we are listening to obey the command of God. That's the vision of this church. Philip went out, Jesus meets Philip, and Philip goes out and he finds Nathanael. He says, come here. You got to meet this guy I met. Philip goes and meets Jesus. And again, Jesus operates in a word of knowledge. And he said, behold, an Israelite in who there is no guile. An Israelite in who there's pure integrity. There's no deceit in this man's heart. That's highly unusual, right? There's no manipulation in you. Come on. You know anybody like that? It's probably very few. Jesus speaks to him. Nathanael says what every normal person should have said. How do you know me? Have we met before? He said, before Philip talked to you, I saw you under the fig tree. And he says, oh my God. Oh my God, you are the Messiah. He says this, you're going to see better than that. That's a glimpse of what you will see if you walk with me. Folks, listen to my words. If you will walk with Jesus, if you will seek Him first, the best is yet to come. That's what I'm preaching next week. I'm preaching next week. The best is yet to come. How close are you following? Are you just here because you're doing your religious duty? You get out what you put in.
Amen.
And if you're here doing your religious duty to be in church on Sunday, I commend that. I commend that. I'm not putting that down. Thank you. But that's the reward that you'll get. That's the blessing you'll get. But if you're seeking him with all your heart, you get a different kind of reward. And if you are seeking him with all your heart, remember I said at the beginning, the church doesn't have a boldness problem. We have a love problem. We talk about what we love. And if you're falling in love with Christ every day a little deeper, and that's the way the true walk with God goes. A true walk with God, you're falling in love more and more every day. We used to sing a song, he gets sweeter as the days go by, right? And he does. How many of you have been saved for years and years, and you can testify to this, that he's sweet. I promise you this. We've been married almost 45 years, and I love this woman today more than I've ever loved her in my life. I didn't even know what love was in 1981. When we stood before three preachers, she was tying that knot tight. When we stood before those three preachers, I thought I was in love with her, and I was, but not like I am today. Why? Because there's 45 years of history. There's 45 years of going through good times and bad times. Are you following me? Well, I've been serving Jesus longer than that. And I'm going to tell you, about 1968 is when I got saved. Some of you are thinking, I didn't know he was that old. He gets sweeter as the days go by. I didn't even love him in 1968, not like I do today. See, I recognized that he was Savior in 1968, and I gave my heart to Jesus. Today, I can tell you he's so much more. He's not just the Savior. He's the Restorer. He's the Healer. He's Protector. He's my Provider. He's everything to me. Does that make sense? If he really is everything to me, I don't have to put on the evangelism shoes. Just who I am. One time we were going to go to a Christmas party in our neighborhood when we lived in Murray. And we lived with a bunch of... well, I won't say that. I'm being televised. Nice people that needed Jesus. And Treva told me on the way, and she's not going to like me saying this, but she doesn't discourage me, but she said, you don't have to talk about Jesus the whole time we're there. And I said, well, I didn't know I did that. And but I do. You take me to a ball game, and I'm going to enjoy the ball game, but chances are we're going to talk about Jesus. Am I making sense to you? It's who I am, folks. Because about 57 years ago, I fell in love with him. And it's getting deeper and deeper and deeper. So I will talk about the things I love. Folks, look around you. You see these empty chairs? Every one of them ought to be filled. I'm serious. We ought to have people standing on that back row ready to feel what you felt in the worship. Do you know most people have never felt that kind of presence of God? Don't they deserve to? Don't they deserve to hear how wonderful he is? How will they know unless you go? How beautiful are the feet of him who brings the gospel. Is there anything more ugly on our bodies than our feet? Right? I'm not a foot person, obviously. But he said, how beautiful are the feet. You know, that might be because our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. You ever thought about that? He wraps his peace around our feet so that no matter where we go, I bring the peace. You know what that is? The wholeness, the completeness of Jesus wherever I go. And then if I open my mouth, may Jesus fall out. Right? We can talk about the weather. We can talk about the ball game. Eternally, those things do not matter. What does matter? Jesus. Who are you sharing with? Would you stand with me? Jesus, I have preached what you have laid on my heart today to the best of my ability. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would begin to put pictures of people in our hearts and minds. Lord, it's very possible that we need to go back to some people and apologize, that we've not shared the gospel with them. But God, I pray that you would birth in us such a desire, such a fire about the love of God, about who you are, that it encompasses who we are. Lord, fill us up so much with Jesus that if you squeeze me a little bit, Jesus is coming out. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, help us to be a resounding board of the love of God. Help us to take this gospel, what little we may know of it, help us to take it to a dying generation and share the hope of Jesus with each and every person. Father, I pray right now that you would empower every person under the sound of my voice, both those that are in the pew and both those that are watching us by Facebook or YouTube. God, I pray, Lord, let the Holy Spirit rest upon them and empower them to talk about the love of God. In other words, God, season our word with salt. Help us to make thirsty the world in which we live. So, Father, when we go home today, I pray that we would feel compelled to talk to our neighbor. I pray, Lord, that when we meet somebody at Walmart or Kroger or the gas station and we feel that little nudge in our heart, that we would take it serious and we would just share the love of God with them. God, empower them to be an ambassador of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I woke up this morning with this statement on my heart, and I knew it was from the Lord. You're going to know this statement in society that says, friends don't let friends drive drunk, right? Do drugs, drive, right? Everybody knows that? Friends don't let friends drive drunk. Am I right? Come on. Look at me and say, yes, Pastor, we know that from TV. Well, the Lord gave me something different. Friends don't let friends go to hell. Friends don't let friends go to hell. Not without a word. I know it's their decision, but they need to walk over your witness to get there. They need to walk over the love of God if they're going to go to hell. Make them know how much He loves them. You know, there's still people out there in Paris, Tennessee, that do not know about the love of Jesus. Come on, folks. Let's tell them. Each one, reach one. I'm not asking you for to go preach on the court square. I'm just saying, who's your best friend? Do they know Jesus? If you met Jesus today, who would you go and tell? They went and told their friend. They went and told their brother, come and see what I found. I found the Messiah. Who would you tell? Now listen to me. Then go and tell. Go and tell them. because Jesus put that person on your heart for you to share the gospel. Say, I don't know enough, Eric. All these guys knew is come and see. That's all they knew. They didn't share the gospel. They just said, come over here and meet this guy. Can you do that? Can you say, will you come to church with me? When's the last time you invited someone to go to church? Say, well, everybody in Paris goes to church. No, no. About 35,000 people live in Henry County. About 10,000 of them go to church occasionally. That's less than a third. That means two-thirds are not involved in a church. The Lord said, pray for the harvest. Pray for the harvest. Why? Because the workers are few. Who's the workers? You are. The workers are few, but the harvest is ripe. I'm not trying to get heavy at the end. I'm just saying, we've got to work. We've got to work so that every person knows. It's their choice after that. But it's up to us to make sure they know. Denny, would you come? God bless you, folks. I was determined to get you out early today. Now, look at that clock, 10:21. I'm giving you back 9 minutes from last week, okay?
With that, I'll keep my part short, too. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.